Great. Today's controversy is one of maybe the most intense controversies in the history of Judaism. And yet, today, in 2022, it's not a controversy at all. And this speaks to the fact that the Masorah, the tradition of halacha from Rebbe to Talmud, is eternal and is guided by the divine hand. The Ribbono Shel Olam is orchestrating the passing of the tradition from parents to children, Rabbeim to Talmidim, lenetzach netzachim. And so even though there was a time in which there was literally a spiritual, religious, and intellectual civil war, people were mamish in the middle of a civil war, today that war is over, because the fringe groups, you could say, and by the way, they were not so fringe, but I call them fringe as it relates to us now, whether they were Sadducees or Baitusim or Essenes or whatever these different groups were that did not accept the tradition of Torah Sheval Peh, has anybody ever heard of them? Is there like a Sadducee shtiebel in Borough Park somewhere? No, I've never heard of one. None. They don't exist. Because Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker, they have been relegated to the dustbin of history. They simply don't exist anymore. Because the fealty to halacha is what has driven Jewish communities and Klal Yisrael, the Netzach Yisrael, from Dori Doros. So what we're going to talk about today is a controversy which in our day and age, it seems like totally academic. But just realize that at one point, families were literally torn apart. People were literally and figuratively, but also literally, killing each other over this. The Gemara has an episode where there was a person who was serving in the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkos, and he was doing the Nisach HaMayim on his feet because he wasn't believing in Nisach HaMayim, so they stoned him with Esrogim. It seems like they actually killed him. That's what it sounds like. Literally. It's interesting to think of how you could kill somebody with an Esrog. They must have had some serious, maybe the Teimani, like the nuclear option, the Teimani Esrogim. So this was a huge live issue. And Baruch Hashem, today it's not so much of an issue. But what I want to think about today, and this is where it comes back to us, is why is it that the Ribbono Shel Olam orchestrated it, that the experiences and the observances of Eretz Yisrael and Medinas Yisrael in our day and age take place during Sfiras HaOmer? This is a curiosity. It leads to a lot of halachic confusion as how to properly observe these days. Because on the one hand, Sfiras HaOmer, like the Ramban says, is a shtickel chol hamoed. On the other hand, there is an element of mourning over the loss of the students of Rabbi Akiva. On the one hand, there is this celebration of the founding of the State of Israel, of Yom Yerushalayim, of the Six-Day War, literally Mimavis L'chaim. Some of you remember how people were afraid that the State of Israel, the Jewish state, would be obliterated. L'chmanu L'tzlan lo aleinu. And it was a miraculous salvation, and Hebron, and Yerushalayim, right? And on the other hand, we commemorate the Avarachamim for the Crusades. So it's a complicated time, and the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam would drop these days of Hey Iyar and Chav Ches Iyar right in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer, you got to wonder, what's the Indian here? It's Omer Darsheni. What does that have to do with this tkufa? So maybe there's going to be a connection. Maybe there's something that we can think about and appreciate on our level, in our avoda, in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So let's take a look at a Rambam. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tamidim Musafim, he tells us, this is what you should know about observing Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash as it relates to sacrifices. But Pesach, you know what you should do? Makrivin karban musaf b'chol yom. Every day you offer a karban musaf. That's why in davening every day, what do we have on Pesach? That's right. Tefilas Musaf, even on Chol HaMoed, because every day of Yontif, of the 7 days in Israel, you have a Korban Musaf. K'musaf Rosh Chodesh, like Rosh Chodashim. It's like on Rosh Chodesh, you have Musaf. Parim Shnayim Ba'ayla Echad V'Shavach V'Asim HaKol Olos. Someone's going to say, Ko'ele. I'm just far warning that. I know Ira was thinking that. The Gabbaim are always on the lookout for those guys, the singing Ko'ele guys. We got it. We got it. Next line, B'yom Sheni Shel Pesach, second day Pesach, Shehu, that is, Yom Shisha Asar B'Nisan, Makrivin Yeser Al Musaf Shel Kol Yom, in addition to the Musaf of every day, you offer Keves La'ola Im Omer HaTenufa. You offer a sheep, a Keves, and the Omer HaTenufa. The word Omer means a measure, like Omer LaGulgolis. It's a volume measure of solid. That was how much mun they received in the Midbar, Omer LaGulgolis. They would offer an Omer, which was, as he explains, V'hi Mincha Shel Tzibur Kamosha B'Yarno. That is the Korban Mincha of the community, as we explained. It's a Korban Minchas Tzibur. Where did we explain this? The Rambam earlier talks about it, where he explains the different groups of Menachos, right, in Maisa Korbanos, based on the Psukim earlier, in Sefer Vayikra that we read a few weeks ago, already probably 2 months ago now, where the Torah says v'im takrif minchas bikurim, there was an offering, a mincha, which means it is a flour, a meal offering. This one, we'll see, it comes from barley. They would harvest the first grain, the first barley, and they would offer it as a korban. This is called the minchas ha'omer, the meal offering of the omer. When was it offered? 16th of Nisan, second day Pesach. Uzmano kavua, and its time is fixed. Ulefichach, therefore, fourth line, dochas a Shabbos. It is observed even on Shabbos. It's a communal sacrifice, and it is time-bound, so it's certainly offered on Shabbos. So this year's second day Pesach was Sunday. But could be that second day Pesach would be Shabbos. Great. As it says in the Pasuk, Va'avesim is Omer, Reishis, Ketzirchem El HaKohen. And then the Rambam goes to explain, you only bring this from Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvaso, sixth line, Likotzer Balayla. The night before, you cut it down. So they would have a whole big ceremony. Then you would cut it down. You can cut it all night. Kol Alayla Kosher L'Ktziras Omer. It's proper to bring it from what you cut down. But if not, even if it was previously harvested, that's okay. The Rambam goes through all these rules. Go down to Darkon. Darkon Hayalahavi Misoto Shabadarm. They used to bring from the fields in the south, and they would describe exactly how that would be. And now I want to go to Halacha Yod Aleph, where it's in the next font without the nekudos. Omer Zemen Hasa Orem Hayava. This Omer would come from barley. V'davar Zehalocha Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a tradition from Moshe at Sinai. Now the Rambam is going to describe. You ready for this? This is based on a Mishnah, Maseches Menachos. Keitzar Hayanase, how would we offer the Korban Omer? Me'erev Yom Tov, before Yom Tov, Yotzin Shluchi Bezdin Va'osin Oso Krichos B'Mechubar. Erev Yom Tov, can imagine how busy it was, Erev Pesach, they had special emissaries from the rabbinic court, they would go down to the field, and they would see big stalks, so they would tie them up, saying, this is going to be desecrated, we're going to be ready. Motzi Pesach, we're coming right here. Kadeshi he noach liktzor, so that it will be easily harvested. Kol ha'yaros ha'smuchos l'sham, all the nearby cities, miskansos, they would gather together, and they would, kadeshi he niktzor be'esek gadol, that should be harvested with a big esek, v'kotzrin shalosh sa'in sa'orim b'shalosh anashim, and they would gather, and they would harvest three sa, which is a big measure of barley, with three men, u'b'sholosh kupas u'b'sholosh magalos, with three containers. A kupa is a container. So imagine they had giant Tupperware containers, and they had three men, and they had three magalos, three sickles. And then they would say, they would say, Kevan shechashcha, when it got dark, omalam, the person who was in charge would send, hakotz l'chol omrim sham, omdim sham, they would say to all the people, bo ha'shemesh, is it night? Omalohein, yes! And then he would say again, Bo HaShemesh! And they would say, Hain, it was like a rally. Three times, Bo HaShemesh, Omer Lohain. And then he would say like this, you see in the next line, Magal Zeh? Is this a sickle? And he would say, Yes, it is. Is it interesting that the Rambam has to tell you all these things? He would say, yes. Magal Zeh, yes. Magal Zeh, yes. Then he would say again, Kupazu, is this a Tupperware? And he would say, yes, yeah, a Tupperware. The Rambam has to go through every time. And they would say it three times. Why do you think they say it three times? What is this? It's about emphasis. This to make it a big spectacle. Do you think they need to say everybody, oh, is this a Tupperware? This Tupperware? No. The Rambam says, this is a big deal. And then they say, should we harvest? And everyone says, yes, harvest. And they would say again, should we harvest? And everyone would say, yeah, all the people. Everyone's yelling, yes, great, great. Why? V'kol kach lama, says the Rambam in the bold and in the translation at the bottom from the Sfarim. Why did they do all this? Mipnei Elu hatoin sheyatsu mechlal Yisrael b'bay Yisheni. Because of those people who left the Jewish community in the Second Temple period. Shehein omrim, they say, shezesh and emer b'Torah, this that it says in the Torah, mimacharas hashabbos, which we're going to translate in a little bit, from the next day of the Sabbath. Hu Shabbos Bracious, that means Saturday, the seventh day of creation. We'll see in a minute. But we have a tradition, no, she'ena Shabbos el Yom Tov. It's not Shabbos and Yom Tov. V'chein ro tamid hanavim v'asanhedrin b'chol dor v'dor. And so saw the prophets and the rabbinic judges in every generation, shayu menifin es ha'omer b'shisha asa menisim b'im b'chol b'im b'shabbos, that they would observe the waving of the barley, the carbon omer, that meal offering on the 16th day, what we call second day of Pesach, every year, whether it was weekday or Shabbos. Whenever Pesach fell out, that's when they would do the Karban Omer, period. V'harei nemar b'Torah, and it says in the Torah also, v'lechem v'koli v'charma lo sochel ad etzem hayom hazeh. There's another rule, which in America we're not so sensitive to, although in Chicago we're more sensitive than anywhere else, because Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, made this one of his life crusades. Yashan, exactly. Because it says in the Chumash, it's not some strange Chumrah. It says in the Chumash that any grain which was Nishrash, was planted after this Karban Omer, the 16th day of Nisan, has to wait to be eaten until the following 16th day of Nisan. So if you have winter wheat that was planted in December, Echves, and then it was harvested in February and made into Cheerios, you're not allowed to eat those Cheerios. No, Cheerios is gluten-free, sorry. Oats. Right? Or, flour to make challahs, you can't eat that until after second day of Pesach. This is the din of Chadash. So there are many leniencies for Chutz Laaretz, but in Israel, there's no leniencies. This is, in Israel, you don't have to advertise Yashan, because that's what it must be. That's a din. There's no option. You know, in Chicago, you'll advertise the pizza as Yashan, or the flour as Yashan, or the look on the codes. But in Israel, it's not a question. You don't have a choice. So anyway, this is also part of this din. And of course, the part which is most relevant to us in Chutz Laaretz is that this begins the period of Sfiras HaOmer. You count the counting from the Karban Omer. Which is why there's a big discussion about whether or not Sfiras HaOmer today is biblical. Maybe Sfiras HaOmer today should only be rabbinic, because we don't have a Karban Omer. This is a big, interesting discussion with a lot of nafkamina. So now we can take a step back and say, wait a second. The Rambam, who is a halachic compendium, right? He's not a storyteller. He has to go through all of this arichus to tell you this din, that the Karban Omer is not brought on Sunday, it's brought on the second day of Pesach, Mataishu. Because there was an argument. There was a controversy. In the period of the Second Temple, the Rambam says, and he wants it to be eminently clear. And therefore, he records the practice of the Mishnah that they would make this almost over-the-top, seemingly ludicrous ceremony of saying, oh, this is a sickle? Yeah, it's a sickle. We should cut? What day? You know, because we need to emphasize over and over the role of the Masorah in defining the Omer. Why the confusion? Because if you turn the page, if you look at the Pesukim in Parshas Emor, the Pasuk says, here in Pasuk Dalet, we introduce the holidays, the Moadim, Eila Moadei Hashem. What's the first holiday on the calendar? Nisan is Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodashim. So the first holiday on this calendar is going to be? That's right, Pesach. We read this every Yontif. Sharu Chesiv.
We're going to read it this Shabbos.
Oh, Taka. I forgot. That's right. It's this Shabbos, Kriyas HaTorah. Great. Oh, now you have something to pay attention to. Great. First thing is Korbanos. Great. Then Pasuk Tes. After that, right after Pesach, we introduce the concept, Kisavo el haaretz, Pasuk Yud, uktartem es ktzira, you harvest, and you bring the Omer. Vehinif es haomer lefnei Hashem l'rtzonchem, you do tenufa, you wave it, mimacharas haShabbos sinufenu haKohen. And you offer a keves with a mincha, and you shouldn't eat any new grain. And then what do? Pasuk Tesvav, usfartem lachem mimacharas haShabbos. You count from this same after Shabbos, from the day that you brought the Omer HaTenufa, Sheva Shabbos Estimimus Diana, 7 full weeks, Ad Mimacharas HaShabbos HaShviyas, until after that, Tisbru Chamishim Yom, you count Chamishim Yom, V'kraft HaMincha Chadash Al Hashem, that's the karma we call the Shtei Alechem, the two new breads. What holiday is that? Shavuos, exactly. Shavuos does not have a date in the calendar in the Chumash, for very specific reasons, not for today. Shavuos doesn't have a date. It's not associated with Kabbalah Satorah in the Chumash. Shavuos is firmly rooted in the Sfira from the Omer. It's the culmination of a process that began with a barley offering and concludes with a wheat offering of Shtei Alechem, which is unusual in a lot of different ways. The front end of it, the Minchas HaOmer, that is the first time anybody in the world is allowed to eat Chadash. The second one, that's Matir Chadash in the Mikdash. That's when you're allowed to eat new grain in the Beis HaMikdash. That's meaning eating it, meaning for Karbanos. So this series of Psukim is somewhat ambiguous. Now, Alpi Pnimius HaTorah, on the inner side, there's a lot of reasons why we would refer to Pesach as Shabbos. Probably the simplest one for us to understand is that when Shabbos comes, Shabbos is given to us as a gift, whether we're prepared or not. Even if we have one leg in the shower and one leg out of the shower, Shabbos is starting. It happens. Shabbos is Kviyah V'Kaimah. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'll be here for you. You don't have to invite me. You don't have to get anything ready. Lamaisa, I'm going to come to you. I'm here. Pesach is the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to us in Egypt. And he said, you know, the truth is, you guys don't look like you're like the best shidduch for me. You know, like, let's be honest. We were at the, according to tradition, like the Memtes Shari Tuma, like you said, the Haggadah Va'at Erim Ve'eria. There was not much. We did Pesach and Mila, but there wasn't what we call Is Arusa Dilatata. It's not that we reached out to the Baruch Shalom and said, you know, we're ready to be redeemed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu poured the goodness from above. It was Is Arusa Dila'ela. It came whether we were ready or not. That's like Shabbos. So Pesach is a bechina of Shabbos. So that's probably on a deeper level, on just one simple surface level, why it is that Pesach is referred to as Shabbos. But now you can understand why. At some point in the Second Temple period, there broke out a debate. Now this is not the only debate. If you turn the page, this is one of several debates. The Gemara in that context, the Menachos, let's take a step back to see that this was in the context of a larger series of debates, which is recorded in this book. This is very important. This is a magnificent work by a scholar, Vered Noam. This is a critical edition of the Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis is a series of dates, observances. We could call them holidays. It's one of the oldest rabbinic texts that we have. It predates the Gemara. It predates the Mishnayos by centuries to the period of the Chashmonaim. And there was a list of holidays that was written down, a series of traditions of days that were celebratory. And they primarily have to do with things that had to do with the Beis HaMikdash, primarily. And the Gemara has a series of references to this book, Megillas Tainis. Why is it called Megillas Tainis, the Scroll of Tainis? Because in those days, it was commonplace for people to fast for various reasons. Today, we say, the post can point out, Huchlishu Hadoros, we don't fast very much. It's better not to fast. Give tzedakah is better. We don't have the constitution of those previous generations who fasted all the time. But in antiquity, people did fasting for various reasons, especially more common than we do. And there were certain days that they're so celebratory, they're holidays, you don't fast. And some days you don't also do hespedim, eulogies, because they're festivals, so to speak. These are mini festivals. So this is a scroll of days that you don't fast. So Megillas Tainus, the scroll of fasting, are the days that you don't fast. Just get that clear.
So when we say Bahav, Tainus Bahav, those are the days that they used to fast.
Yes. And Bahav. So Tainus Bahav, there are some people who still observe Tainus Bahav. But there were lots of other reasons why, you know, some people, they fast on a yard site. It's a codified in Shulchan Aruch. Fast on a yard site?
Yeah,
it's in the din of the Shulchan Aruch. Many people have that practice to fast on a yard site. It's mamish codified in Shulchan Aruch. It's really a din. So in our family, by Chassidim, they make a suda on a yard site. It's a different thing. But in Shulchan Aruch, so let's say if a person observed a fast on a yard site and their yard site came out on one of these special days, so they wouldn't observe a fast. There's no fasting. Or let's say in the old days when they would have a takana that they would fast for rain for certain things, unless it was absolute emergency or like a person have a tainus chalom, there are exceptions. But these are days that you don't do fasting. That's the point of Megillas Tainus. And this was very special. The Gemara has a debate to what extent these days are still operative in controlling, regulating the Jewish calendar for not fasting. Is it still existing? Is it batel? The reason why this is brought up is because the Gemara is discussing the observance of Chanukah, Purim. How do those dates relate to these festivals? Rav Shechter talks about this also in the context of establishing Yom HaTzma'ut. Maybe there's a pattern that the rest of these days, nobody heard of them because Batel Megillas Tainus, but maybe Chanukah is different. Well, if Chanukah is different, maybe Yom HaTzma'ut is like Chanukah and Purim. That's one of Rav Shechter's ways of looking halachically at Yom HaTzma'ut in the model of special days that have to think about, you know, have to fit into this context of what do we do about Megillas Tainus. There's a lot to say about this story. This is a very massive, amazing work.
Days of the year are...
A bunch. I didn't count them all up.
Would be out.
A bunch. So here in the beginning of this Gemara in Menseches Menachos and Daf Samach Aleph, right, all the days you don't say Tachanun, everybody would be excited. So exactly. So they are recognizing this historical significance of certain dates for certain reasons. So we mentioned this whole description of the Rambam with the big tararam about the Omer that comes from the Mishnah here. So the Mishnah gave you the ceremony, but the Gemara wants to understand where does that come from. So the Gemara quotes a piece from the Megillas Tainus, a Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, they call it this Tana Rabbanan, it's like a Braisa, Elin Yomaya, these are the days. You have Rashi on the right side, if you want to catch the Rashis, we'll just do the Gemara inside. These are the days, Delo lehisana bahon, that you do not lehisana tainus, you don't fast, umiksason, and some of them delo lemispat bahon, not to have a eulogy. What is that? Meresh yarcha de Nisan, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, ad tamyabe, until the 8th of Nisan. No tachnun, the first 8 days of Nisan. Why? Because isukam tamida. The korban tamid was fixed. We have to figure out what that means. But those are the first days on the calendar that you do not have fasting. The first 8 days of Nisan. Then, delo lemispad bahon, and do not have hesped. Umitamya bay, and from the 8th of Nisan, va'ad sof moada, until the end of Pesach. Well, Pesach, you're not going to say Tachanun for sure. You're not going to have Hespedim. You're not going to have fasting. It's Pesach. But from those days, the 8th till the 15th, you also have no Tachanun. Why? Because Delo Lemispid Atzof Moada Itusav Chaga Dishvuaya. It was Itosav. Itusav comes from the word Tiyufta. Miyushav. It was asked, or you would say in Yiddish, upgefrecht, the holiday of Shavuos. They settled the issue of Shavuos. They made a 7-day holiday. What does it mean they settled the issue of Shavuos? We'll get to that in a second. Delo lemispat bahon, that you should not have a You should not have a hesped. Why? Says the Gemara, Shahayut Tzdukim Omrim. The first debate was that Tzdukim said, the Sadducees, these people said, and the general term for Sadducees, you know, you can look in the scholarly literature about the exact derivative of Sadducees versus Tzedukim versus Baitusim, students of Antigonos Ishsocho, and how they relate to other small groups. I'm not getting into the academics of it, but these were people who, they had a different way of interpreting the Bible. They did not follow the Masorah of Torah Shebal Peh. So they said, what did they say? Yachid misnadev umevi tamid. Who brings the korban tamid, the daily offering, the korban olah, morning and afternoon in the Beis HaMikdash? A yachid, an individual. This was the debate. How did they make that claim? My darish. Es hakeves ha'echad ta'asa baboker. One sheep in the morning. Ve'esakeves ha'sheni ta'asa bein rabayim. It says ta'asa. You should do it. So, doc, you wake up in the morning, you decide, I'm going to give today's korban tamid. You go to the Beis HaMikdash. Ta'asa, you do it. So what did the rabbis respond? Because this became a debate. Maya hadrube, what did they answer? Es korboni lachmi le'ishai tishmeru. My bread for my fire. It comes from me. Tishmeru, you collectively. Plural. Tishmeru. So my bread, which is coming from me every day, is korboni lachmi le'ishai. That's the korban tamid. Tishmeru. You should bring it as a community. Not as an individual. Shukulon boy, and they all come mitrumas halishka, from the money from the shkolim that people gave, that was taken out of the communal coffers. That's why we read Parsha Shkolim. Everybody gave a machzas shekel, depending on what period in history, exactly what coin you gave, but they would collect all the communal donations. They would take three boxes, put some of the money in, and take it out for karbanos. So think about this for a second. This is wild. They had a debate between the rabbis and the Sadducees. The debate raged on, and it was so severe and so significant that when finally the rabbi's opinion was accepted, they made a holiday for 8 days. Keep in mind that part of the reason for this significance is that for many periods, the Sadducees controlled the Beis HaMikdash. They controlled the temple. That's why that Kohen was, and they had to, the Mishnah says in Yuma, they had to inquisit the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur to figure out if he was a Sadducee. This was huge. This is not Stama Machlokas in the Beis Medrash one way or another. This is an entire fundamental religious worldview conflagration. Do we accept Torah Shebal Peh as it was handed down from Moshe throughout the generations or not? And so the nafka mina was, how do you bring the korban tamid? That's going to be the first thing. We'll have to come back to this. We don't grasp the gravity and the enormity to the point, to the extent that Chazal had to make an 8-day holiday where they were able to establish that the korban tamid was brought from communal coffers. Because that was... So no, but it's because they denied... They wanted to change because they believed that every individual should interpret the Tanakh. And we're going to get to that in a little bit. It's yes, it is. Yes, so there's a lot of parallels that you could draw from a sociological standpoint. And it certainly has reminiscence a little bit of a Korachite type of thing. But this was not just a few flaky freaks on the fringe. You're talking about a mainstream view that's for controlling the Beis HaMikdash at certain times. It's hard for us to grasp that, right? To us, it's so foreign. But you see, it was mamish occupying such a central space that they're going to make a holiday in Megillas Tainus, 8 days. Thank God we finally got the korban tamid straightened out. And if Megillas Tainus wasn't batel, we would still have that holiday today. That's the first holiday. Now the Gemara is just warming you up for the next holiday, which is what we're talking about. Let's go back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up in the narrower lines. What does it mean that from the 8th va'ad sof moada itusav chaga deshvuaya, that the Chag of Shavuos was settled. Delol Mispa, that you shouldn't have Hespedim. Shahoyu Abaitusim Omrim, the Baitusim used to say, Atzeres Achara Shabbos. Atzeres Shavuos, it's always on Sunday. Nitfal lahem Reb Yochanan and Zakai. Reb Yochanan and Zakai. Nitfal literally means tuffel, ancillary. He engaged in a debate with them in a way that was dismissive. I think that's the connotation of this word. Nitfal lahem Reb Yochanan and Zakai. Reb Yochanan and Zakai engaged with them. We'll talk about that one more in a minute. Vamalem, he said, Shoitim, idiots, minayin lachem. How do you know this? It's very sharp. V'lo hoya adam echad shayim meshivo. No one would respond to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It sounds like these were public debates. Chutz mizakein echad, except for one elder, shayim mefatpeit kenegdo. That was mefatpeit, literally means to chatter. It was a yenta, one old yenta. Baruch Hashem, we love Jews. Nobody had the audacity to take on Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, except for one old chattering guy. And what did he say? The Omar, he said, first wide line, Moshe Rabbeinu, Oiv Yisrael Haya. Moshe Rabbeinu, he loved Jews. V'yodua, v'yodan, he knew she'atzeres yom echad. He knew that Shavuos is only one day. Omad v'tikna achar Shabbos, he made it a Sunday. Kedei shu'yu Yisrael mis'angin shnei yomim, so that the Jews would have 2 days' enjoyment, they would have a long weekend. That's what he says. If I didn't read this to you in the Gemara, you would say, I made it up. But that was the argument. The Baitusim said, you know why Shavuos is a Sunday so we can have a long weekend. Because in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, they don't have Sunday. They work 6 days a week, like it says in Chum HaSheish Yisrael Metavu. Baruch Hashem, in America, we have Shabbos mid-Sunday, so we already have a long weekend. But in those days, they had to work Sundays. So they said, ah, Moshe Rabbeinu, we love Jews. So of course he's going to interpret Mimachras the Shabbos to be a Sunday, because if the second day of Pesach, At Bash, Aleph, Tuf is Tisha B'Av, Beis Shin, second day of Pesach is always Shavuos, Mimachras the Shabbos. So it would always be a long weekend. So when I sent this over to Nechama, she said, Moshe Rabbeinu was an Oy of Yisrael. That meant a 3 day Yontif for the Baitusim. I said, yeah, that was pre. First of all, I love 3 day Yontifs. And second of all, she's like traumatized by the thought that every year Shavuos is going to be a 3 day Yontif, like it is this year, Baruch Hashem. No, this year is. Yeah, it is. It is. So she was traumatized. I'm like, well, in those days, they didn't have second day Yontif. So the Baitusim were okay. Anyway, this is the argument. A long weekend for Jews, because it's only a one-day holiday, so it makes more sense that instead of making your work crazy that you have one day on Saturday and then you have Wednesday off, just going to have Shabbos Sunday, it's going to be great. This is the argument, mamish. So what happens? Kara ol of mikrazeh. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to him, it says, achar aso yom mechor of derech har seir. It says we're supposed to be 11 days from Chorev, Derech Har Seir. We could have gone to Israel from Har Sinai 11 days. We would have gotten there chick-chock. You know, one stop in JFK, we were there. The Moshe Rabbeinu, next section, this is turning to Amud Beis in the middle text. Moshe Rabbeinu, all of Yisrael, haya, lama ichram midbar, ba'am shana. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to him, yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jews so much. Why did he keep him in the desert for 40 years? Shkoyach. Omer lo Rebbe, bekach ata potreini. That's what you're answering me. That's not an argument. That's a joke. Omar lo, third line, shote, idiot. Velo te Torah shlema shalanu. Our complete Torah should not be kesicha b'teila shalachem, like one foolish conversation. I'm not going to engage you in a debate. We're not talking about this. It says, kasav echon omer tisbru chamishim yom. Pasuk says, we read, count 50 days, v'kasav echon omer, sheva shabbosos tamim v'stiena, 7 full weeks. So 7 full weeks means Sunday is day 1. So how do you have 50 days and 7 full weeks? Ha-ketzad, kam b'yontov shechalios b'Shabbos. It depends. If the yontov falls out on Shabbos, and then Sunday is the first day of the Omer, it's the second day of Pesach, so then you have 7 full Saturday to Saturday weeks. Kan b'yontov shechalios b'emtza Shabbos, in the middle of the week. Then you count 50 days, but you don't have Sunday as the first day. That's how you interpret the Pesukim. And then the Gemara actually gives many other interpretations. Shel Reb Elezer, Sofer, Reb Yeshua, Mona, Reb Yishmol, Ma'amer, Reb Yehuda, Lamata, Simon. The Gemara has then another 20 lines, which we're not going to do today. Other proofs how we know that Shavuos is not Sunday, and that the Omer was not brought on Sunday, it was brought the second day of Pesach, whenever Pesach was. Now, it is very interesting. If this was a Gemara shiur, we would spend a long time going through each of these shitas, figuring out why they disagree with each other, if they disagree, and why there have to be so many opinions. But the bottom line for us is to understand, wait a second. We started with the Rambam, who said halacha lemaisa, and he felt that it was important to convey to us the full ceremony and the historical background, because this was such a long-standing, crucial machlokas. Now we see the origins in Megillas Tainis and how the Gemara frames it in the context of these arguments, which are many more. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is in the middle. So if you look on the next page, Rabbi Benny Lau, so he has in his book on the sages, he has in the first volume several pieces on this ongoing debate between the Pharisees, the Prushim, those who separated themselves from those others, the traditionalists, and the Balei Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh, and these Sadukim or Baitusim. And he quotes there a different price, which we're not going to talk about today, Machlokas, about Para Aduma, which was also big. There were tons of these big fundamental arguments. Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation of the Red Heifer brings us to one of the foci, great word, of his religious activities outside the yeshiva, his struggle against the Sadducees. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is living at the way end, the tail end, first century of the tail end of the Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash. Our discussion of the Sadducees began with their dispute with Yosef ben Uezer in the period of the Pairs, the Zugos. Power struggles between the Pharisees and the Sadducees characterized the entire Second Temple period, and the two groups never reached any kind of understanding. The Sadducees fortified themselves in the temple and in their specific perception of holiness, and fought with all their might for their beliefs and their interpretation of the halacha. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the most prominent of the first century leaders to struggle against them. He is described as having had the upper hand against them. Hence the holidays in Megillas Tainis. Okay, so now this brings us back to us a little bit. There was this raging argument, this controversy about Sfiras Omer, which is in the broader context of the arguments between the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the Prushim, which is bringing us back to understanding what is this all about? What was the Nekudas HaMachlokas? How do we connect to this? We see already there's something having to do with the Korban Tamid, something having to do with Torah Shebaal Peh, because we have a Machlokas about the origins of the Drashos. So I want to share with you three layers of meaning in this argument, which are really beautiful and amazing, and actually are very relevant to us today, even though the Sadducees are long gone. The first layer is Rav Hirsch. So Rav Hirsch, on the comment, he's making a long comment on the Korban Tamid, which is in the end of Parshas Pinchas, where we talk about the Korbanos Musaf, and we also talk, that's where we introduce the Korban Tamid. So Rav Hirsch then talks about the Korban Tamid. We saw in the Gemara that the first machlokas that they had, that first holiday, the first 8 days of Nisan, was about the Korban Tamid. What was it about? Whether or not I as an individual offer the Korban Tamid, or is it collective? So Rav Hirsch, this is the commentary, this is the new translation. It's easier than the Victorian English in the older translation. So I gave you this is the new volume. I gave you a lot of background. Thousands of years have now passed since this institution by the early prophets. And he describes Vayter. We're going to come back to this, Karbani Lachmi. Go down every individual. Every individual among the people who wants to learn Torah and to sanctify his actions must turn to the representative of the community in the sanctuary to whom the testimony and the teachings of God's Torah are entrusted. It is this representative that is careful to offer in the name of the community the Tamid offering of the community, the offering that renews each day the vow of faithfulness to the Torah. So you see how Rav Hirsch is starting to weave together the issue of who interprets Torah, the role of Torah Shebaal Peh, the Prushim, the Masorah, and the role of the Korban Tamid. This idea, however, totally contradicts the doctrine of the Sadducees of every period. According to the Sadducean doctrine, Jewish man can connect himself with God only through the written letter of the Bible, which is accessible to everyone. Everyone may interpret scripture as he pleases. He may take from it what appeals to him, regard that as God's will, and fulfill it in accordance with his own understanding. The Sadducean doctrine abhors the spirit of the Talmud offering because the Talmud teaches that the individual can find God only by attaching himself to the community of Israel, and that he will find favor before God only by fulfilling God's word, which was entrusted to the community. So now, the first layer of understanding, says Rav Hirsch, is that there is a debate here about the role of the individual vis-a-vis the community, and that for the Tzedukim, the Sadducees, every man has his own relationship with God. You interpret the Bible as you see fit, you worship God as you see fit, and you don't have any recourse. There's no reason to relate to the community as an entity. It's about your personal spiritual service, your religious worship. Now, this is an interesting model. Rabbeinu Lau has kind of a different take on the Sadducees, which we're not going to talk about today. It relates to something we're going to get to in a little bit. But at least this starts to build the framework of saying, what were the Sadducees taking issue with? They were taking issue with the institution of Torah Shebaal Peh, which is an institution of a communal rabbinic community of Bali Hamasora, who represent the entirety of the Jewish people in their tradition of learning. It's a communal institution. And so it's not up to every individual. And this is, says Rav Hirsch, reflected in the Korban Tumid, that the daily offering is on behalf of all Jews by the community. And that's why there is an institution he talks about in the previous column, which I didn't put in your packet, called the Ma'amados, where there was actually a representation of Jews who would come to the Beis HaMikdash and stand as representatives of everybody. Because there is it's a communal context. Take it as an interest word. This is level number one. What's the argument between the Sadducees and the Pharisees? The relationship between the individual and the community. So for Rav Hirsch, it's understanding that the individual is part of a community. That's shlav number one. But we could take it a step further. Take a look on the next page. I thought this was absolutely astonishing. I never saw this before. Rav Kook has a tshuva in this volume. It's called Mishpat Kohen. This is tshuvas b'mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz, zroim, kodshim, tara, sanhedrin, and melachim. Rav Kook's collections of responsa are in four different volumes. This volume, called Mishpat Kohen, has this collection of responsa, and in it, he has a fascinating letter. When I saw this, I was like, this is amazing. If you were a great goan in Europe, let's say in 1925, and you published an amazing Sefer on Chumash with tremendous pilpulim and halacha on Chumash, what would you do with your Chumash? Maybe you would send it to Gedolei Hador with a little note saying, here's my new Chumash. I hope you enjoy it. Let me know what you think. No? Isn't that what you would do if you wrote a book? So if you were to travel to the Heilige Reb Meir Don Plotzky, the Av Bezdin of Davart, Reb Meir Don Plotzky wrote a Chumash commentary called Kli Chemda. This is classic. I have it in my library. Many of you have come across it and seen it. If you haven't, it's a lumdish, like a pilpul halachic work on Chumash. It's a classic work. I had no idea that the Heilige Kli Chemda of Meir Don Plotzky, he published this in 1925 in Galicia, in Poland. He sent a copy to Israel, to Rav Kook. Because Rav Kook was revered as a Gaon Adir Hador. So Rav Meir Don Plotzky writes his commentary on Chumash, he publishes it. You see a Sharblat right here. This is published, this one edition is published in Pietrikov. The next year, Sefer Klei Chemda Ala Torah, Chidushim Pilpulim, Rav Meir Don Plotzky. This is famous. So he sends a copy to Rav Kook. So Rav Kook writes him back a letter. He says, ah, thank you for your Chumash. Lichvod, Harav, Hagon, Hagodol, Otzer HaTorah, da, 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 on and on, Rav Meir Don Plotzky, Ah, Bezdin of Ostrov. Amazing. I thought this was fantastic. Rav Kook gets a copy of the Chumash because Rav Meir Don Plotzky realized that Rav Kook is a Gaon Adir. So Rav Kook says, thank you for the Chumash. Here are my Ha'aros. I didn't read the whole commentary yet, but this is what I came across. So he writes him a letter and it's published in the Mishpat Kohen. How amazing is that? It's exactly what would happen today. If you wrote a Sefer and you were proud of it and you wanted to get people's approbation and their feedback, you would send it to the Gaon Ador. And Rav Kook says, thank you so much. This is amazing, wonderful Chumash. In the introduction to the commentary of the Kli Chemda, he talks about the machlokas of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the way to interpret Chumash al-Pi Torah Shebal Peh. He has a fascinating interpretation, which is more in line with what Rabbeinu Lau says. But Rav Kook says, oh, let me tell you what I think about this discussion, amazing discussion about the Karaites. Go to the top second column. I loved your Sefer. I didn't get through the whole thing. Bahakdama Reisi, I saw initially, Shadiber Divrei Negidim Bekdushas Torah Shebal Peh. You said beautiful things about the sanctity of Torah Shebal Peh. V'chokar b'dvar pirtzas hatzedukim. And you talked about the issue of the breach of the Sadducees. Be'inyan, on the topic of Mimacharas HaShabbos, our topic about the date for the Korban Omer, Sfiras HaOmer, and Shavuos. L'farish dafka b'Shabbos Breishis, they said it was Sunday. Shalok kabolos chazal ho'amitis. That decoy al Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach. Va'anochi and I biarti inyan zeh. I explain this issue and says Rav Kook, let me tell you a next level. Bekesher to relate shtei apratzos shalahem. There are two arguments. Shehein, bekdushas Torah shebal peh, the sanctity of the oral Torah. Sheikar habris shakaras hakadosh baruch hu Yisrael b'shvila, like it says in Gittin Daf Samach, that is the primary covenant that we have with Hakadosh Baruch Hu is. Al pi hadvarim ha'ela karati yitzcha bris. The Gemara says it's on the oral tradition that Hakadosh Baruch Hu has a covenant with us. Shein smucha zulazu b'megillas tainis, that they are right next to each other. Says Rav Kook, they're right next to each other in Megillah and Menachos. Shebezeh asher nitzchum chachamim isukam tamida, because the chachamim were victorious in the debate, we established the Korban Tamid. Va'achakach isukam chaga deshvuaya, and then we established the Korban of Shavuos. What? Sheyachid yemisnadu maybe carbon. Bamipne, why is it? Shalo hodu, they did not agree. Sheyesh bichlolos knesses Yisrael kedusha miuchedes. They did not believe that there is singular sanctity for the collective of the Jewish people, for the nation, for the whole. Ma shalo nimtza b'chol am v'lashon. That is not true for every other nation. In America, we have a country, a nation, a confederation of states. And the purpose of those is for self-preservation and mutual benefit, so that we can provide each other protection and freedom. That's why we get together. There's nothing inherent about the musag of the United States of America. There's nothing inherent about that identity. The relationship between individuals in a nation is that we are like partners. In the village of Skokie, we're partners. We have a share in a communal enterprise. So we all chip in taxes, so we're partners. And so therefore, in a democratic system, we as partners choose representatives. So we do that on a local level, then on a state level, then on a federal level. But it's giant. It's one gigantic partnership. That's in halacha what we call shutfin. Ve'etzla shutfin bevadar hu ikar shachelko shal kol yachid shebeshutfas haklolos lagabi oso yachid. The main thing is the role of the individual. Each one of us has a vote. That's a democratic premise. Avo be'emes Lagabi Yisrael, Sibur, Vishutfim, Heim Shnei Musagim. Community, the Klal Knesset Yisrael, and partners, Shutfim, are different. Kedemashma, like it sounds like in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, in Temura, in Yud Gimel Amid Aleph, Ein Hatzibur Vashutfim Osen Temura. There's an institution called the Tzibur. And there's an institution called Shutfim, and they can't create Temura. Swapping Kedusha, attempting to transfer Kedusha from one animal to another. Rav Kook says, what does it mean, Tzibur, community, and partners? It's because Tzibur is not the same as a partnership. The Jewish people are not, how many Jews are there today? 15 million Jews or 16 or something like that? We're not 16 million partners in a corporation called the Jewish people. There is a separate, independent, spiritual entity called Knesset Yisrael. That's holy. That's the reflection of the divine. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's manifestation in this world in one way. It's separate from just the collection of all the individuals. It's distinct from that. And there are a lot of nafkaminas. So says Rav Kook, this was the Ikar Taina of the Tzedukim. It's more than just what Rav Hirsch was saying. Rav Hirsch was saying is that the role of the Yachid is to be part of the Tzibur. Rav Kook is saying something deeper. He's saying that actually the Tzibur has an independent identity. It has a personality. It has its own qualities. Maybe that's why the Gemara has an expression, Ein Tzibur Meis in Horios. That's maybe why the Rambam thinks that there's only the concept of a Tzibur in certain ways, in one respect, in Eretz Yisrael. Because the Tzibur is a living, independent entity. Says Rav Kook, this is what they denied. They denied the notion of an independent entity, and therefore it's about the individual's interpretation of Judaism, not the independent interpretation of the Knesset Yisrael as a whole, the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is passed down as a community. And therefore, the Korban Ilachmi, they said it's just an individual, it's not the collective. Says Rav Kook, that is what is connecting these issues. The issue of Torah Shebaal Peh, which of course, by the way, if this was Hanukkah time, we would spend a lot of time talking about how the fact that Hanukkah and Bayis Sheni is the period of Torah Shebaal Peh. So Zelu Azeh, God brought into the world the force of the light of the oral Torah, and of course, correlated to that, the antithesis of that are the Sadducees who denied that light. Says Rav Kook, it's not just what Rav Hirsch is saying, is that I as an individual are part of a community. It's that the community is not just a collection of individuals. Rav Kook goes on to explain this more. But now, if you take a look, skip the next page for time, go to page number 7. Rav Kook has a piece in the Ma'amarim where he brings it home even further. Where he develops this idea now. It's not just, we're going to put together item number 1, the argument about the tradition, Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh. Item number 2 is about the Korban Yachid, Korban Tzibur. What does this have to do with the Korban Omer? The Korban Omer, what does it come from? It comes from the ground. It comes from the land. Not only do we have a concept called a community, well, that community is rooted in a national homeland. Says Rav Kook in the Ma'amarim, the Tzedukim in the Baitusim on page 7, after he quotes the piece from the Megillas Tainis, Hatzdukim va'abaitusios, Hatzdukios va'abaitusios, the Sadducees' theories, they argued, Ketzad yechola avodas Hashem ayosim usteres, how can the service of God, which is such a religious hidden experience, how is it possible, Leo's fourth line, yesodi tziburi, how can it be a communal institution? Because now Rav Kook takes it further. It's not just that there is an individual in the context of the Kalal. It's not just that the Kalal has holiness. Well, if the Kalal has holiness, that Kalal, it has national institutions. What does it mean to be a Kalal? It means to have a government, to have social services, to have a military. So the Sadducee says that's not possible. It's not possible that there be a national institution of holiness. You can be holy as an individual, but can a state be holy? Can a land be holy? Can an independent, separate body be holy? Impossible, says Rav Kook. That's what they believed. Yachin misnadivu mincha misnadivu mevi tamid. That's what the Tzedukim said. Turn the page to the last page. But no. Lo davar prati hu atochen shel avodas HaKodesh b'Yisrael, second line, says Rav Kook. It's not an individual service. It's not that the ideal Jewish life is that you live somewhere, and as long as you have a kosher takeout deli and a minyan 3 times a day and a mikvah, that's enough. That's enough on a prati level, on a personal level. So you have a chavrusa, you have a shir, you have a sbodudus, yes, but that's not enough. Third line. Kiyam davar tziburi uklali. It's got to be a national collective identity of holiness. There's a national dimension here. Go down. We really should spend about 3 hours on this, but we're not going to. We're going to spend a few minutes just to finish. Go down to the next paragraph. Zos yadu hakol. Everybody knew. Ki Shabbos kodesh uli Yisrael vashvisa mikom alocha hibo chova nimretzes. Shabbos, everybody knew that's a time of sanctity. The Sadducees knew there was a time of sanctity. Right? So they said, the Korban Omer, that's not separate from Shabbos. No, it's all dependent on Shabbos. We each experience Shabbos wherever we are in the world. You can experience Shabbos in Dniepropetrovsk or in Sri Lanka or in Chicago, anywhere. Shabbos could be an individual experience. Who would imagine that agriculture is connected to Shabbos? Who can envision that there is a national identity with all of its holiness that's connected to an agricultural system? That they couldn't understand. They couldn't. Oh, that's perfect. That's what Rav Kook understands. It's the whole essence, the Hakdama to the Shabbos Haaretz. Yodu Hakol, everybody knows, because Bachorish of Akatzer Tishbos. What's the point of saying that the Korban Omer is Docha Shabbos? Last line. Haremes Hagorosh Yeshkan Ki Achakla'ut, top of the second column. Haaretz Yisraelis Bi Yisrael. The agriculture, the settlements. Those men and women who came with shovels in the 1880s and in the 1910s, those who picked up arms in the late 1940s, this agricultural settlement, the building of a national land, Yesod Yeshuva Ubinya Nachlaso Nimsheches Hima Makora Kodesh Buma Kadosh Zu. This is the final point. These two arguments are together. The issue about the individual's relationship and the concept of Sfiras HaOmer, these are, Rav Kook is saying, connected to each other. They said everything, it's surrounded, it roots back to your individual spiritual and religious observance. So you bring a Korban Tamid, you interpret the law as you see fit, and you connect your work in the field to your personal experience of Shabbos. Because it's all about you. It's all about the individual religious experience. Rav Kook says, we don't believe that. We believe that there's something that is connected to the Knesset Yisrael. Mimachras HaShabbos, that could be even a weekday. Rav Kook says in this most magnificent idea, you could take a weekday, a Tuesday, and make it a day of spirituality. You could take a random day and say today is the Korban Omer. You take something, a national identity, which is inherently, it is chol. What is a social services network? What is a system of bituach lumi, national health service? What is a tzava? These are chol institutions. The nature of a national entity, of a lo'um, is that they have chol institutions. The chap is you can take them and do tnufa. Raise it up. You take the ground, the barley, and you bake it into a carbon on a national level. This is the debate, says Rav Kook. Can we view the national interests of the Jewish people, the national identity, these whole institutions, the army, can we see it as a vehicle for Kedusha? So now we go back to where we started. We realize that the truth is this is actually an ongoing conversation right now. This is maybe a current controversy too. And maybe this is why, who knows, but maybe the Rabbanu Shalom gave us the days of Hei Iyar and Chaf Ches Iyar in the period of Sfiras HaOmer, of Mimacharas HaShabbos, to teach us that these institutions that the Rabbanu Shalom has gifted us in our day, the state, the army, the Bituach Lumi, the police, all of these national institutions, we are Prushim. We believe that they are holy and that they can be a vehicle for Kedusha. Maybe they're not fully realized that yet. Maybe we're still in the process from the Omer to the Shtei Alechem to see the fullness of the redemption. But to realize, to see that there is a national identity. It's interesting to me that Rav Hirsch is still living in this perspective where the individual is part of the community, but it's about how the community relates to the individual. Rav Kook is taking it a qualitative step further to talk about the significance of the independent Knesset Yisrael, that has holiness. And that's maybe what we're thinking about and appreciating these days. That the state of Israel is not just a shutfus, it's not just a partnership of Jews. It is a representative of the collective of Knesset Yisrael. Perfect, imperfect, far from perfect, how far from perfect? Nitzanim arishonim shalaschalta de geula. But the point is that Sfiras HaOmer, says Rav Kook, is the time that we combat religious particularism, where we reject the notion that says it's all about making Shabbos for yourself. It's all about my personal observance, my bringing the Karban Tamid. Can we take a few minutes during this period, Mimachras HaShabbos, when we're sofer, when we count, to realize, says Rav Kook, that's not the end all and the be all. That's not enough. Maybe for thousands of years, this element, this dimension of Yiddishkeit was dormant, but all of a sudden it's not anymore. To realize that there is a Musag of Knesset Yisrael which is alive in our day, to appreciate that, and perhaps to do what we can to connect to it on a soul level, to support it in some way, in whatever way we can, even if it's not, I don't know how many of us are going to volunteer and serve in the army or in the welfare institutions, whatever we can do. But on these days during Sfiras HaOmer, to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects that we do not just live as individuals, as pratim, as Sadducees says, who say, as long as I interpret it my way, it's to see that there's something greater. And this is, it's a journey. It's a journey for this national identity, which is waking up and growing and improving and struggling and striving, but it's also for us. We are living in a place of exile where we live as individuals, where we try to survive as individuals. So now, during these days of Sfiras HaOmer and the Yemei Iyar, to open our eyes and realize, oh, there is such a thing, there is a Musag of the Klal, to appreciate it, to daven for it, to connect to it, and hopefully, Yemir Tzashem, one day to fully celebrate it with B.S. Gold Tzedek, Meher V'Yameinu.